Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 21st of June, 2012. Hope you're having a good day so far. The home of our show is AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We have the show streamed live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear the programs on buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, tucsoncitizen.com, all posting the Buckmaster Show, usually by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We launch this edition of the Buckmaster Show with a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. We'll be talking about the just-passed Pima County budget. 20 minutes past the hour, marketing professional Peter Schwartz joins us to talk about how social media is reinventing how business is done. At 30 minutes past the hour, the Buckmaster Show candidate series introduces our listeners to Adam Quasman, Republican candidate for state representative in District 11. Then we'll close out the show with a preview of the Mexican presidential elections coming up on July 1st with our contributor on Mexico, Keith Rosenblum. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com, or you can use the Facebook page for the Buckmaster Show, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. The Pima County Board of Supervisors voting this week 4-1 to approve a $1.2 billion budget for the next fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. The spending plan is about 5.4% less than this year's budget and 17% less than 5 years ago. Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Supervisor Bronson, how are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, Bill, and I hope you are, too.
Doing pretty well, Sharon. How would you characterize this spending package?
I think that we passed a fiscally conservative budget. I'm very pleased with it in terms of what did it accomplish. Well, we were able to maintain the current primary and secondary property tax rates in the county, which results in a property tax reduction of, frankly, over $12 million because our assessed valuation fell by that. And we were still able, without raising taxes, to appropriate $10 million to accelerate repairs of county roads. And, again, we exhibited our continuing commitment to preserve the safety of our community by appropriating more than 50% of the general fund, or in excess of, approximately $250 million to law enforcement and justice services. And you already mentioned we've reduced the budget by 5% from this year as we start into the new year, and 17% from 5 years ago. And the reality is we've lost during that same period over 1,000 employees. So I think we are on solid footing. We've got a conservative budget that I think meets community needs and doesn't raise taxes, and I think, therefore, will be serve as an economic stimulus.
Supervisor Carroll voted against the budget, as you know, because of $36 million in spending from the general fund reserve. That could not be avoided, I guess?
I think, again, it's a conservative budget, and as you see, four of the five members of the board voted for the budget. That $36 million we simply need there if we are going to continue to issue bonds and have a stable AA bond rating. If our fund balance were to drop below the $36 million, it would jeopardize our rating, which would jeopardize our bond projects, which would jeopardize the economic stimulus that those bond projects provide. Understand that those bond projects are about real projects, concrete, on whether we're building vertically or going horizontally with road repairs. They contribute to the economy through job creation and job protection.
$10 million for road repairs, can that begin almost immediately?
It's already started. So, yes, and it will be ongoing. I think on another note, Bill, I think Supervisor Carroll really wanted to see some property tax reduction, perhaps. But again, looking at what the state legislature, I mean, they've shifted over $55 million of cost over the last 3 years to counties. I don't think that's going to stop. I think we've got still some real issues with the state budget, especially if that half-cent sales tax does not continue and stops. They are going to do what they've done the last 3 years, and that is, in order to balance their budget, they're going to shift costs from counties or make us make mandated payments. And so we need that reserve fund balance.
It looks like the battle with the town of Marana continues, probably will go to another court. But as you know, the Arizona Court of Appeals decided last week that Marana does not have legal authority to own or operate the Pima County sewer treatment plant that the town seized in January. What happens now after this ruling?
I think that the state law that was recently enacted still gives the plant to Marana. So I understand the ruling out of the appellate court, in order for Marana to operate that plant, Marana is going to have to go to an election in the town of Marana to seek authorization to operate the treatment plant. So I don't know if that's the direction they're headed, but I suspect if they want to operate the plant, that's their option at this point, and I would assume that they're going to probably put it on the November ballot should they still choose to operate the plant. Now, they could also appeal to the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, and that would stay the matter until the Supreme Court decides. So those are the options. But, yes, it does appear from the appellate court ruling, in order for them to operate the plant, they really must hold an election and get authorization from the voters in the town of Marana.
Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson is with us on the Buckmaster Show, and you will have an opponent. A Republican, Tanner Bell, will be running against you in the fall election, and I would think that jobs are going to be one of the big issues in this campaign. What do you think? This board has been pro-economic development?
I think the board unanimously has been pro-economic development. As you know, that has always been one of my top priorities. And I feel that as an existing member of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, again, that is my top priority, to rebuild and stabilize our local economy through job creation, job protection. I don't think we have a higher priority at this point other than that. And I think we've done much of that stimulus through our bond packages that voters have approved by authorizing projects that keep construction jobs here, so they protect jobs and they create jobs. As you know, last Friday night, we are doing that new courthouse downtown, and Sun Construction poured one of the largest concrete pours ever in the region, and there's going to be an even larger pour tomorrow night. So that employed well over almost 150 plus people, and the same thing will happen tomorrow night. So we are doing our bit to stabilize our local economy through creating jobs and protecting jobs through our bond package.
I know that you and the rest of the board members have been very strong in your opposition to Rosemont Copper. Is there anything new on that front? What are you hearing the latest on Rosemont?
They are still in the trying to get their permits. I haven't heard anything new. As you know, a number of agencies, federal agencies, and understand, the county cannot issue permits or deny permits, and it's really up to the feds. And the several federal agencies, the Bureau of Land Management, the EPA, have all expressed serious concerns regarding those permits, particularly as it relates to the aquifer.
And, you know, I think, and I've said all along, that I think this election coming up will be a referendum in some ways about Rosemont. It is the first time that there has been opposition for each of the Board of Supervisor candidates, I think, in about 20 years. And I think the argument that will come up on the other side, those running against the incumbents, will be, well, the board talks about being pro-jobs, but they say no to Rosemont, which would bring copper mining jobs in. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that it's a cost-benefit analysis, and if we did the cost-benefit analysis in terms of the jobs generated versus the jobs lost, clearly Rosemont didn't make sense to us. Now, on the other hand, we certainly aren't anti-mining. We are now going through a process with Oracle Ridge Mine, which is going to generate, I think, in excess of 250 jobs, is not going to have the serious environmental impact that Rosemont Copper, a.k.a. Augusta, is having. And I think that is a process that we are going to fully endorse. And that is about job creation, real jobs that aren't going to jeopardize current jobs or future jobs.
Overall, you say the county is in pretty good shape financially?
Yes, I think we've weathered this Great Recession. We have that reserve fund balance. So if, we don't see the recovery as fast as some are saying, that we can dig into that reserve fund balance so that we can move forward, providing residents of the community the services they deserve without raising taxes.
Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Sharon Bronson, a Democrat. She will be up against Tanner Bell, a Republican, for that Pima County supervisorial seat. We look forward to talking with Mr. Bell here on The Buckmaster Show when he becomes available. Coming up on now 12:17 on The Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we come up now on 12:21 on this Thursday afternoon. Support for this portion of the program comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more. Check out their beautiful website, SplendidoTucson.com. Well, Facebook's recent initial public offering, which is the largest by a technology company, is being considered a watershed moment for the consumer side of the web, but social networking's real economic impact might be ahead as companies learn how to harness social business tools. All of this has sparked a debate about Facebook's value as a marketing tool. Joining me now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Peter Schwartz. He's the owner of Tucson-based Schwartz & Company, a marketing communications firm. Peter's current client roster is very impressive, including local healthcare, restaurant, and capital management companies. He has a major national foundation, a marketing firm based in New York City. And internationally, he works for one of the big four accounting firms. Peter, how are you today?
Bill, how are you doing?
Doing real well. And this is something that has fascinated me, the way Facebook has grown and looking at the potential. From a marketing standpoint, what are some of your thoughts about this debate over its value as a marketing tool, Peter?
Well, I mean, when you ask that question, the first thing that comes to mind is I remember how I got involved in Facebook, which was about 2.5 years ago. I was invited, I was friended, put it that way, by a client, excuse me, one of my biggest clients, and I'd been friended by friends before, but I thought, oh, a client, I guess I better do this, and I did it. And of course, now I'm all over Facebook. I've got one for my company and then one personally. But I think the lesson that I learned from that is that even if you can't sometimes put a specific value on it, it's one of those things you'd better do for one reason or another, whether it's communicating with a client, communicating with customers who are the equivalent of clients for retail stores and businesses. And the question that it comes down to now, aside from their IPO and whether people are going to get or more people are going to get rich off of their stock value, is, you know, how to use this in a marketing sense, and then further on, how do you measure it? And that's tricky.
You know, Peter, you know I'm very active as well on Facebook with the show, and I use it as a tool every day to promote the program and to point people in the direction of the program, and it's been very successful in that regard. A lot of people do expect someone to be on Facebook these days, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to, say, 5 or 10 years ago with websites. If you went looking for a company 20 years ago, there were obviously no websites. 15 years ago, probably no websites. 10 years ago, they were starting to come on. 5 years ago and up to present day, if you look for a company and they don't have a website, you might be wrong about this, but your conclusion is going to be these people don't know what they're doing. And I think Facebook has now come to that point. If you go look for a politician or a business or even a person and they're not on Facebook, then you wonder whether, one, they don't have their business wits about them, or two, they're some kind of hermit. I mean, we've got 1 billion people with Facebook accounts, so it's not surprising that people are expect you to be there, especially if you're a business.
Peter Schwartz is with us, marketing pro. He owns his own marketing company, marketing communications company called Schwartz & Company here in Tucson. Peter, is this a watershed for the whole social network with now Ford and Coca-Cola separately offering endorsements for getting on board with Facebook? Is that some kind of a watershed moment?
I think that it is, and I think that it, the fact that that Facebook is promoting it is also a watershed, because obviously they took a pretty bad hit. One, the IPO did not go the way according to plan, and I won't drag us through all those details, which people still don't understand very well. But in addition to that, while they were in their quiet period after they went public, General Motors ended a $10 million campaign saying that they didn't feel that it impacted their car purchases. And so so for Ford and Coca-Cola to come out and say, yes, we do believe it helps us, is important. There was a big article on it in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. And if you read towards the end of the article, it turns out that Ford and Coca-Cola are on a panel that advises Facebook on how to market, which I thought was interesting. So, of course, they've got a vested interest to an extent. But if you look at their specific comments, they do not say, we sold more cars or soda due to this. What they say is, well, if you've got 40 million people who like you on Facebook, it's got to help you. And right now, when it comes to measurement, that's kind of where we stand. It can be very hard to quantify it, but you generally take that leap of faith and say, well, it certainly can't hurt us. And after all, Facebook is free. There's no charge, even for a company like Ford, unless you want to do advertising. And obviously, you have to pay for the people to help manage it. But considering, and they are now spending about a quarter of their marketing budget on social media. So they're taking it seriously. The question, I think, for a lot of the listeners out there for your show is, they're smaller businesses. They don't have that kind of budget. But the good thing about Facebook is that you don't need a huge budget. You could spend $10 a month. And if you make specific call-to-action ads that you can track, then you can start to get a pretty good idea on return on investment. So if you say, mention Facebook and get 5% off your purchase or whatever, you can tell if 10 people come in mentioning Facebook, okay, that's good. If 100 come in the following week, then that's great. So you have to have some kind of measurement tool in there, even if it's very rudimentary, like the one I just mentioned, to figure out whether something is happening.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question about the effectiveness. And you know, when you hit the like button, of course that does indicate that gives you something to go by. But people do want, especially in your business, they want measurements usually, don't they?
They do, and there are some new studies that have come out which show that in fact, if people like your Facebook, like you on Facebook, they're more likely to give you business. But, of course, that's kind of a chicken and the egg situation as far as I can see, because I think people who like you, who go and like you actively on Facebook, they were more likely to buy your stuff in the first place. So, again, it's like reading the tea leaves. It can be very tricky. My advice to small business people would be, look, it costs you nothing. Go on Facebook. At least it'll look to your customers as if you're in the game. Also, Facebook allows you to interact with your customers in a way that's very hard to do, and this is true of social media in general, with other advertising. If you put a full-page ad in a newspaper, it's hard to get feedback. Somebody might email you or they might call you. But with Facebook, you get instant feedback. And then one other thing to mention is some of that feedback is not positive. And so you better be willing, if you're going to put yourself out there in public like that on Facebook, to get some not-so-positive stuff. Now, you can go ahead and take it down, but I would highly recommend that you contact that person and try to resolve whatever problem they had. But you don't want negative stuff hanging out there about you on your Facebook page.
Very good point. So probably the first thing to do if there is something negative, and that is somebody that is a friend on Facebook, get a hold of that person right away and see if you can change their mind, correct?
Exactly. So, I mean, there's been a lot of examples of not just on Facebook, but say on, I think Barnes & Noble's had a big problem where people started posting some things, negative things about their books and about specific books. And they were on there like for a whole long weekend. There was a huge debate going on the Barnes & Noble's website. And all the Barnes & Noble's executives and their social marketing people, they were all, I think, on vacation for a long weekend. And it sat there for days. And that's really not advisable. So if you're going to get in there, make sure that either you check this thing regularly, and by that I mean at least a couple times a day. If not, assign somebody who knows what they're doing, at least in a rudimentary fashion with social media, to track this stuff.
Okay, Peter Schwartz, we will see you on Facebook. And where can people find out more about Peter Schwartz?
Well, I've got a website, obviously, a pretty basic one. That's peter-schwartz.com. And then work number 609-2921.
Thank you very much, Peter. Have a great afternoon.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Bill. Have a good one.
Thanks a lot. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Jurors now deliberating the charges against former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. Some visitors to the nation's capital say they're doing the outdoor activities in the morning, visiting the air-conditioned museums in the afternoon. Now, that's one way to cope with temperatures that have soared into the upper 90s for a second day in Washington, D.C. and all along the East Coast on up into New England. Two men have been arrested on suspicion of beating up another man in a Los Angeles freeway road rage battle that was caught on video. A school bus monitor from the Rochester, New York area says she does not want to see criminal charges filed against four middle school students who verbally assaulted her. On Wall Street, the Dow down 228, the Nasdaq off 68. More details at srnnews.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. I really like this place. Well, I like antiques anyway.
I like the early Arizona painters from the early 1900s. They have them at Adobe House Antiques, located in a building designed by the famed architect Josias Josler. They're at 2700 North Campbell, just north of Plaza Liquors. Give Plaza Liquors a free plug. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Well, between now and the fall elections, we will be doing our best here to introduce you to as many of the candidates as possible. I think it's very important to do these one-on-one interviews, let you, the listener, hear what these folks are all about. This afternoon, we'll be turning to the House of Representatives three-way battle for two seats in District 11. The two Republicans are former State Senator Steve Smith. He stepped down from the Senate and is now running for the House in order to avoid a primary battle with State Senator Al Melvin. The other Republican candidate in the race, Adam Quasman, who joins us now. Mr. Quasman managed Jesse Kelly's 2010 congressional campaign. On the Democratic side, there is one candidate. We have already met him. He's political newcomer Dave Joseph. Adam joins us now. How are you today?
Hey, Bill. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And congratulations. You are now officially engaged.
I am. And I always promise to ask my fiance to marry me publicly wherever I possibly can.
It's too bad you could have done it right here on the Buckmaster Show.
We could have done it right here, but I'll say right now, just, Becky, will you still marry me? How's that?
I hope the answer will come back again, a second affirmative answer. You were telling me before we got into this segment that you enjoyed David Levy yesterday.
I was jealous that you had David Levy on. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Adam Quasman. I'm born and raised here in Tucson, and I went to Tucson Hebrew Academy, the religious day school on River Road. Yep, on River. And we had David Levy come in and do a star party for us, and I thought it was just the coolest thing in the world to see the stars and learn about galaxies and quasars and understanding how the comets circle. And it really led to just a little bit outside of the political world about me is just a true enjoyment of the study of astronomy and learning about the universe around us, which led me to learn about the world around us, which led me to start learning about people, which led me to a master's degree in economics, because economics is the study of humanity.
Tell us a little bit about why you decided to get involved with politics. Was the Jesse Kelly campaign, was that kind of your first endeavor into the political world?
It wasn't my first endeavor. I actually was a page for Jim Colby, and I interned on Capitol Hill. I then, after receiving my master's in economics from George Mason University, I worked at the Cato Institute in their Center for Constitutional Studies. I then founded my own economic consulting firm, 2510 Consulting, which is a take on Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout the ends of the earth and to all its inhabitants. And then I moved back home and I was consulting clients. This is during the financial crisis, because my specialty in economics is understanding the role of government in the economy. So when you had clients who, let's say they did foreign direct investment into Mexico, and they were trying to understand how the U.S. financial crisis was going to affect their businesses, they came to me to help them out. I then teamed up with Jesse, and I worked for him in 2010. And about a year ago, just over a year ago, I declared as a candidate for the new LD11. That's in Oro Valley, Marana, and Saddlebrook area, all the way up to the town of Maricopa.
How do the numbers look, Repubs and Dems and Independents in 11?
In LD11, it's a safe Republican district. It's an 11%. I know it's LD11, but it's also an 11% Republican registration majority. So we're going to see Republican representation out of that area, and it's been very humbling to see the outpouring of support. As you said earlier, we don't have a primary. Senator Steve Smith has done the most patriotic thing I have seen in recent years, which is avoid a primary by by stepping over. You said stepping down. I call it stepping across,
yeah, stepping
across the lawn. Right.
It really wasn't. That is probably not the right way to put it, stepping down from that. But it's just moving across the aisle.
When you see somebody doing that for their not – by stepping over to put the people first, that's something rare that we see in politics. And I'll be learning a lot from Steve Smith in the coming year.
You're going to be running on what kind of a platform?
Well, I'm an economist, and jobs are jobs number one. It is all about long-term economic growth. Working in finance right now, my clients, they come to me not to just get their books balanced for 1 year, but to make sure that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they're on sure footing and solid ground. You know, I love Tucson, and a lot of my clients are in the Tucson metropolitan area, and they want to see a good place to raise their children. They want to see good education, and they want to make sure that they have the economic opportunity so that they could send their kids to the best schools possible. And that's what it's all about. It's about making sure that the state of Arizona is on a long-term path to prosperity.
Adam Quasman is with me in studio on the Buckmaster Show. He is a Republican running for the State House of Representatives in the newly formed District 11. This is still a learning process, you know, and you mentioned a little bit about the new kind of the boundaries of the district. People really are trying to figure out where they fall.
I know.
In this deal? I mean, okay. Everybody is.
Okay. Yeah. If you live in the Northwest.
Right. Okay.
If you live in the Northwest and you are about at McGee or Hardy and North, that is Legislative District 11, and you could go on to adamquasman.com, that's adamquasman.com, and see the LD11 map. It's an interactive map. You could just click on it and see where you live. Everything south of that area, that Hardy area, and then heading back into Tucson, that would be Ethan Orr's representation.
Who was on our show yesterday,
and a good friend of mine.
Talk a little bit about your feeling if this education measure, the snafu here, and it may not get on the ballot, extending the education sales tax. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I don't believe in extending the education sales tax. I believe in looking at education in terms of first of all, I want to tell you that I believe in fully funding our education system. If we don't have the best education in the nation, how are we going to attract jobs coming out of California who not only workers are just want to come for a better life, but they want to raise their kids, you know, in a safe and a good environment so that they can grow up and stay in Tucson. I really believe that gimmicks such as 1 cent sales tax, little cost shifts here, cost shifts there are not the way to go. That's not a long-term path to prosperity. We need to look at education as a holistic matter, and that is looking at the education funding, which separates itself in the House. So we look in the state of Arizona, we bifurcate the public education system to the other choice-based education funding. I don't believe that's the way to go. We need to look at how much money is going toward each pupil and putting as many opportunities in the hands of the parents as possible. That means fully funding education while creating a business tax structure that induces growth. I don't believe taxing consumption right now in a recession is the way to create long-term fiscal stability or a long-term economic growth package that best suits our education
system. So it sounds like you would not be disappointed if this is not on the ballot.
I'm not.
SB 1070, we may have a decision here within, well, looks like what we're hearing Monday. How do you think it's going to go?
From my understanding is that most, if not all of it, will be upheld in the Supreme Court. I'm a supporter of SB 1070. I believe that having a quality lifestyle in Arizona means fair laws for everybody, and SB 1070, to my understanding, does nothing more than reflect the current federal laws that are on the books. I think a whole lot was made about nothing. I'm proud to have support of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and other business communities, while being supported by Sheriff Joe Arpaio, among others. So I think that we can have a sensible policy that enforces our laws and makes sure that we're protected against cartels while having an open society. That is having a society that accepts as much legal immigration as possible. My family is of immigrants. My family moved here in the early 20th century. I am absolutely for as much legal immigration and as many people working and growing the economy as possible.
We're going to be talking next with Keith Rosenblum, former border reporter for the Star and Republic, about the upcoming, as you know, the Mexican presidential election is coming up July 1st. It's going to be interesting to see if that's will this affect relations with Arizona and Mexico if SB 1070 is held up.
Well, I think right now we need to make sure that we have what I like to call a high fence with a wide gate, and that is ensuring that there's as much economic opportunity between the two trading partners as possible, increasing our highway system, expanding our highway system, allowing produce and other goods and services to travel across the border safely. But I think the demagoguery that's been going on is pure politics, and that's on both sides of the aisle.
Adam Quasman has been our guest. He is a Republican in the newly formed District 11 running for State House of Representatives. Folks can get more information at
AdamQuasman.com. That's AdamQuasman.com.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Thanks,
Good
Bill.
Seeing you. Thanks a lot. We will be talking about the upcoming presidential elections in Mexico. That's next on The Buckmaster Show.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by SouthwestNewMexico.org, Silver City, and Grant County, New Mexico. There is so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. You can hike along the beautiful Continental Divide Trail. You can go birding along the Gila River, fish at Lake Roberts, visit the historic Pinos Altos, or check out the world-class collection of Mimbres pottery at Western New Mexico University in historic Silver City. If you like that Mimbres pottery, you will not believe the fantastic collection they have at Western New Mexico in Silver City. Plenty of great places to stay, including Bear Creek Cabins. To find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Well, the Mexican presidential election is upon us. It's coming up July the 1st. Keith Rosenblum, former border reporter for The Star and Republic, now a contributor to The Buckmaster Show and Inside Tucson Business, joins us now on The Buckmaster Show live line. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I continue to be your personal and professional guru.
You are. You are.
Thank you.
Yeah. What should we make of this election? Any surprises, Mr. Is it Pena Nieto?
Peña Nieto.
Yeah, is he?
It's a double last name. He's Enrique Peña Nieto, and he's the candidate from the PRI, and he is the good-looking, married to a actress, candidate from the party that until two presidents ago had ruled Mexico for 70 years uninterrupted, and he's the, if you were to go to Las Vegas or any of the betting websites, he's the guy that should probably be, that all the polls show is maybe like a 5-1 or better bet. But polling in Mexico is not of the same sophistication. Not that our system also has room for upsets, but the Mexican system is not as sophisticated as the U.S. one, and so it's not a done deal. But Peña Nieto right now is believed to be the front runner.
What has his platform been?
It's all of the platforms really are vague. It's pretty much saying we're not from that group of elites. Real quickly, you have the PRI, which has been out of power for presidential power for the last 12 years. It wants desperately to come back in. And you have the PAN, which has, with President Fox and President Calderon, is at the end of its 12-year reign. It's the first time there's been an alternative power at the president level. That's Josefina Vázquez Mota. She's way behind in the polls and is a particularly bland candidate. Peña Nieto at least has some charisma to him. And then there's Andrés López Manuel Obrador, who's from the leftist party. But you know something? In the end, they're what they've enunciated in terms of where they're going to take the country, really, it's almost indistinguishable one from the other candidate.
They haven't talked much about the drug war, have they?
No, because they don't. The three of them, and there's a fourth candidate, by the way, but he's an independent, really, who is the only person who's been talking since, and he has said that he's been very outspoken on gay marriage. It should be that Mexico should have it. He's been outspoken on the drug war. It should end. He's almost like a gnat. They just keep saying, go away. What's his first name? Gabriel, I think, is his first name. Stop bringing up these relevant issues to it. He's talking education. He's like the lone voice of sanity. But the other three candidates are the ones with viable chances, and so they're the one of those elites is going to win. And insofar as the drug war is concerned, they're going to carry out the, as best anyone can tell, each of the three is going to continue to use the military, continue the war, if you want to call it that, that President Calderon has launched and is continued. There's really no, I don't think there's any expectation that any of the presidential candidates is going to do anything.
How about SB 1070? Do you think that that will have an impact if indeed, as many observers are saying, Keith, that portions or maybe even all of SB 1070 will be held up by the U.S. Supreme Court? What's that going to do to Arizona-Mexico relations?
Nothing. I think that, I mean, I have friends, I just talking and calling a couple of buddies who were driving to Tucson today, and they, you know what, it stays out there as being kind of a highly visible, like, fluorescent neon thorn. But, you know, in the end, Bill, if you're from Sonora and you've got friends in anywhere in Mexico and you have friends in Arizona, you're going to go visit them. If you want to go see a baseball game, you're going to go. There's really not much that takes place. And vice versa. If you're from Arizona, you go profiling. I don't think people realize just how goofy the system is. We have police forces that are majority Mexican-American, and we're accusing them of profiling when it comes to Mexicans, largely, or some foreigners. So I see it as being much more of an issue in Arizona, kind of one of those issues like abortion or your choice you're able to polarize people right away, but in terms of its ultimate impact on, you know, you when you're driving home or anything else, it's just pretty minor. I don't see it as playing a role in anyone's life. It's a good political issue because it defines the way you view politics or the way you view the role of government. I just don't see it as having much of an impact at this point on anybody.
Keith Rosenblum is with us, former border reporter at The Star and The Republic. He's a contributor to our show and Inside Tucson Business. Speaking of the border, it was interesting, Ron Barber's first vote, Keith, as you know, in Congress, was concerning the border. Did you find that surprising?
Well, rewarding that you're the first person to tell me that because I'm out of touch. You'll have to tell me what the vote was, and then I can tell you what it is. I think it's that perhaps by paying attention to national issues and not being in tune enough with my own congressional district. So if you would tell me what Representative Barber voted on, then I could tell you.
I think it was stepped up enforcement in what they're calling a border zone, Keith.
Oh, well, yeah. In that case, I think that's a waste of time anyway. I think that everybody wants to be seen as hard on crime. Everybody wants to be able to carry that mantle. But I think they forget that there's lots of costs that go along with that, and that ultimately it's not really helping us. It's one of those things that we just default to, almost like a cliche. But in spending more money to enforce along the border, maybe that means we'll just send some of that violence over to some of those problems over to California or to Texas or to New Mexico. But continuing to throw money at the border issue when the United States, in a backdoor way, is legalizing marijuana, the Mexicans are tired of losing lives. I'm not sure there's anything to be awarded there. He certainly doesn't score anything. Representative Grijalva is my congressman anyway, but voting for more money or border enforcement or security thing to me is just so much pap.
Hey, Keith, you know, the Mexican election, it's a six-year term, and a lot of Americans probably don't understand that it is just it's a one-shot deal. Do you think that's a good system, or you're in for the 6 years and then that's it, there's no second term?
Well, Mexico has been grappling with that issue, not at the presidential level as you're broaching the topic, but rather they've been looking at mayorships and gubernatorial and representatives and saying, you know what, our policies, in fact, Mexican official documentation signs off as sufragio efectivo y no reelección, meaning effective suffrage or voting and no reelection. That was introduced like 100 years ago after the revolution. They were tired of the same people running the country. They thought they would introduce a no reelection policy. They would diversify the ranks. And what's happened is people just jump from one area to another. It's still elites that run the country. They just do it under, you were a senator this term, now you'll go be a member of the House. Anyway, the country right now is on the verge of turning that over. They're actually going to allow all the under people, everything up to the president, I'm pretty sure they're going to allow them to run for re-election and actually submit themselves to a mandate or referendum of the people. The presidential thing, 6 years is a pretty long time. You don't have to worry about re-election. I would say that no one's going to revisit that, and they're going to keep that 6 year term. But the most important thing is that you are going to have people running for re-election and being able, as we have in the States, and that will be a significant change from the last century of power. That's going to change the way that local government and state and federal government right up to the president is handled.
You interviewed the governor of Sonora here in Tucson a week or so ago. Was he talking about the border and tourism?
Governor Padres was talking about everything under the sun because his state is doing so well economically. The state is just a boom state. Part of it, I don't think that their policy is necessary that he has contributed to. He's riding the crest of a very buoyant mining industry, of a whole huge amount of investment in aerospace. Agriculture has done very well, so the guy is at the right time in the right place to anyway. And there are policies also, to give him some credit. There's things that have been done under his watch. He's in year three of a six-year term that are that have helped the state. But he's presiding over this boom no matter what. And at the commission meetings, he was optimistic. He was deferential to our governor, you know, who is the host. I thought he talked about how Mexico is, you know, nobody in my country is ready to even look at legalizing marijuana. It made me think that he's out of sync.
Gotta
with
go.
His own population. But
yes.
There wasn't anything spectacular that came from the meeting.
Keith Rosenblum, thanks for being with us. Have a great afternoon.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by our friends at Culligan, offering the best drinking water. What makes this water so good? Well, it just simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show is also brought to you by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Check out Michael C. Flowers. He's offering a free half-hour consultation for Buckmaster Show listeners, so give him a call. That's going to do it for the show. See you tomorrow on the Friday Roundtable.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.